Вы слушаете радио SBS на русском языке.
Марк Эддли, the inaugural Hanson Chair in History at the University of Melbourne. And Mark's specialty is the Soviet Union history. And just recently he published an essay, Why Should You Care About the Russian Revolution? Mark, in your essay you gathered different opinions of historians, and you've mentioned there are a few ways to remember the Russian Revolution.
There were basically, I think, two important ways in which the Russian Revolution mattered to people. One was because it was the event which began the history of the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union drew its legitimacy from this revolution, and that's why people felt passionate about it, either because they wanted to support the Soviet Union or they were anti-Soviet. But that has, of course, disappeared because the Soviet Union is no more. The other reason why people used to be passionate about the Russian Revolution, that it was the first really successful socialist revolution, and it could be an example of the possibility of revolution.
In terms of this women liberation and lots of freedoms that were achieved eventually, maybe for a short period of time, but still as a result of those actions.
In the historical discussion, it's more brought up as one of the positive achievements of the Russian Revolution and the early Bolshevik regime. As Marxists, they said the main contradiction is not, you know, gender inequality. The main contradiction is between capital and the proletariat, and that was really where things were central.
Some historians, they name women being as the main driver to put the revolution on the wheels. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Well, it depends which revolution.
So what happened? February. We're talking about February.
Yeah, so the February Revolution, it is true that it starts with women's demonstrations on International Women's Day, and that sort of serves as a trigger. In the longer term, what happens with the Civil War is that Bolshevism gets masculinized to a quite extreme extent, and the role women had in the Bolshevik Party before the Civil War, in relative terms, actually decreases throughout. So, but yes, I mean, women were important revolutionary actors, both at the beginning of the revolutionary year, but also throughout.
How different is the interpretation of the implication or even the course of the revolution events in the Western countries and Russia?
What is curious, actually, in terms of overall commemoration, is that probably the whole thing is a bigger event in the West than it is in Russia itself. The Russian government, which usually has a very strong line on historical events, is rather quiet about the revolution because it's a very complicated event to deal with, much more complicated than, for example, the Second World War, which can be embraced as an unambiguously positive achievement, while the revolution is much more ambiguous to the current government, I think. To me, one way in which the Russian Revolution is quite important is if we don't focus on what happens in Petrograd and in Russia, but what happens in the empire as a whole, and that is a moment of breakdown of the Romanov Empire, and a moment when many of the what we now know as the successor states of the Soviet Union actually first make an appearance, sometimes for a very short while, not always in the same borders as today. But that's, in many ways, there's a moment after the revolutions of, well, throughout 1917 and then 1918 when the empire disintegrates, where a post-Soviet landscape already becomes visible. And to me, that, you know, links our current historical moment with that historical moment much more than the Bolshevik Revolution itself.
So are you saying that in terms of the legacy, the way other countries were emerged in some sense back in those days, that is important. But nevertheless, despite them, you know, finding their own shape on the geographical map, what else, what other legacy for them was inherited through the revolution?
Well, a very important legacy is that the way they were integrated back into the Soviet Union is as independent union republics. And this is what then in 1991, when the central state weakens in the final crisis of the Soviet Union, and then the Soviet Union breaks apart, it breaks apart exactly along the lines which have been established more or less as a result of this convoluted history of imperial breakdown and then reconquest by the Red Army by the end of the Civil War. By and large, what emerges after 1991 is basically a reemergence of what has been regathered in the Civil War by the Red Army.
Lenin's figure in the revolution, did he become a main actor by an accident, or was it a well-deserved role? What do you think?
He's definitely central. The Bolsheviks probably wouldn't have driven such a hard line throughout 1917 without Lenin pushing for that. And the same in October, they would nearly certainly not have taken power had Lenin not pushed for that. So Lenin is absolutely essential. And then if you evaluate this positively or the negatively, that depends if you like the outcome in a certain way. If you like Bolshevik Russia, then you will evaluate him more positively. If you don't like Bolshevik Russia, then you might not. And that's actually quite a conundrum for today's government, because Lenin, of course, is embraced as the statesman. But at the same time, the Lenin who is basically agitating for revolution is not embraced. The Lenin who leads a revolutionary regime which executes the royal family or clergy is not embraced. So it's very even if you embrace the outcome, potentially embracing the figure of Lenin might still be complicated.
And another figure which is rarely mentioned in the media media in conversations outside of Russia is Alexander Kerensky, who
right.
was one of the major figures, especially at the beginning of the revolution.
Yes.
And he also spent a year here in Australia, so there is this link with Australia.
Yeah, I don't know very much about the after history in Australia, other than that I've heard sort of anecdotes of people meeting him and first not realizing who this person is talking so authoritatively about the Russian Revolution until they realized he was one of the major revolutionaries. He was leading the provisional government, and he is one of the major losers, basically, in the end of 1917. He's the man who sort of has to get away when they storm the Winter Palace. In the historiography, he's certainly remembered, and there's quite a discussion about whether or not, you know, the provisional government could have actually survived had it done this or that differently. So I think he is a figure which who interests people, but he didn't become as famous, obviously, as Lenin, probably mainly because he lost. I mean, originally, he was a very unifying figure early in the revolutionary year, because he was a link between the provisional government and the Petrograd Soviet. So originally he was a very popular figure, but he loses he loses in popularity very quickly, largely because the provisional government insists on continuing the war, and that becomes more and more of a liability.
If you can think of a frequent myth or perhaps misunderstanding you encountered while in discussions with representative from the Western world about the revolution time?
I think the biggest misunderstanding is to see what happens in 1917 as only a Russian affair, as if nothing happens in Ukraine, as if nothing happens in the Caucasus, as if nothing happens in Central Asia. And I mean, in terms of what I was trying to drive home, is that once we leave St. Petersburg or Petrograd and look at what happens in the wider empire, this becomes a much more complicated history, and one which is not just Russian, but this is the revolution of very many peoples of the disintegrating Russian Empire.
SBS. 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 SB